I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy. Come on, sing it. It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy. Oh, yeah. It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
An 81-year-old woman named Marilyn from Rockville, Maryland, went to an amusement park called Funland last week. That sounds fun, doesn't it?
Was she able to do much?
Well, you would think not, but apparently Marilyn can get down. She actually tried to ride the bumper cars, which are so fun.
But I feel like those have a lot of warnings, like, you know, if you could break your hip by sneezing, don't ride this, those sort of things.
Yeah, you hit somebody good one time, like T-bone them, boom, they're not getting out of that thing. Well, she tried to ride the bumper cars, and the person taking the tickets noticed that Marilyn's ticket didn't seem right. The cops actually got called, and it turned out the tickets were counterfeit, and apparently it wasn't the first time Marilyn had been caught using fake tickets.
She's like a fair swindler?
Pretty much. This 81-year-old woman set up a counterfeit operation to make fake tickets to use on rides at the amusement parks and was selling them to people and using them herself.
What in the world?
Grandma was arrested for theft of services. Come on, kiddos, we're going to go to the park. Then grandma gets arrested.
What? That is wild.
What's your favorite thing to do at an amusement park? Because I like roller coasters, but I hate them at the same time.
The slide where you sit on the potato sack.
That's your favorite?
Yes.
I was always afraid that I would somehow fall off the side of that.
Oh,
like,
I would get
a weird bump and die. Splattered on the pavement. An Alabama man beat his twin brother with an aluminum baseball bat for not sharing his tacos. The brother got angry because there wasn't enough for him.
Understandable.
He then hit his twin brother in the back and the head with the bat.
Ooh.
When officers arrived, the man told them that his brother's always disrespecting him, too. He was arrested and charged with domestic violence.
He could have just asked him if he wanted to talk about it.
Oh, my God.
I've been hanging out with producer MYK too much.
Do you think he wanted a Crunch Wrap Supreme? I don't know. Okay, yeah, your joke wins. And the final dummy of the day story today on the Joe and Alex Show. This victim, I'm sorry, continuing on that guy, though, he ended up getting really deep cuts and he was really messed up. And this one, though, the final story, Alex, is from your town. It's not your hometown, but Louisville.
Really? What?
Louisville, Kentucky got a call, police did, on Thursday about a guy having fun with himself in the bushes.
Where?
Well, let me explain. When they got there to this park, this 53-year-old guy, Robert McCoy, tried to get away on his moped, but they quickly caught him. Robert told them he was peeing in the bushes when suddenly he was startled by a groundhog, so his pants fell down, and he accidentally turned and exposed himself to everybody in the park. Pure accident.
The groundhog's fault.
I blame it on the groundhog. You got to be careful, man. Groundhog got sharp teeth. You know, you're doing your thing.
Ooh.
The groundhog thinks, what's that? Is that food?
Ew.
Little nibble, nibble. The cops didn't buy it. They said, you know what? We think you're lying. And as a matter of fact, he was arrested for sexual abuse. It also turns out he's a registered sex offender.
There it is.
So there you go. Tired of the groundhogs being the scapegoats for everything when somebody does something lewd in the park. It wasn't me, officer. There's a groundhog down there.
Groundhog lives matter.
Those right there are your dummies of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
It's the Joe and Alex Show. Who cares about this garbage?
Bachelor in Paradise is back tonight at 8 on ABC.
ABC Tonight.
I am in paradise.
All your favorite bachelors and bachelorettes pack their baggage.
Bring on!
And head for their last resort.
This might be the only time my shirt's on.
And you know what they say about love. If at first you don't succeed, cry, cry, cry again. Bachelor in Paradise premieres tonight.
Super
on
excited.
ABC.
There goes my Monday night.
Yeah.
Dang it.
And Tuesday.
What?
Two-night premiere. I don't know if it's every week or if it's only this week, but this week it's two nights.
Can we just end it in one week and get it over with?
The judge in the Taylor Swift case against the radio host who allegedly groped her during a photo op handed Taylor a bit of a victory on Friday. The judge determined that the radio host did not prove Taylor personally set out to have him fired for allegedly groping and threw out David Mueller's case against her. Swift countersued Mueller, saying she wanted a symbolic $1 and the chance to stand up for other women. The jury will still consider her assault claim. During a stop on his sold-out 24-karat Magic World Tour, Bruno Mars surprised the audience in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and announced that he's donating $1 million from the show to provide aid to the victims of the Flint water crisis, which I think is awesome.
What a cool dude. Yeah. That's awesome.
And, of course, he was here last night. Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom were seen at the Ed Sheeran concert held at the Staples Center on Saturday night in Los Angeles. They wore matching black baseball caps to stay incognito, and they were seen cuddling up in a photo shared to Instagram by a fan. One eyewitness says they definitely seemed like they're back together. They cuddled most of the night. She sat on his lap most of the night and shared kisses. They looked like they were having the time of their lives. Jonah Hill didn't respond when he was asked in an interview if he's still considered the fat guy in Hollywood after his dramatic weight loss.
But are you still considered the fat guy when you go to a party or anything? Because I run into that a whole lot. I'm the fat one. Okay. So are you the fat guy in Hollywood still? Or is everybody like look at you and they're like, oh, wow, you know, this is great. Now you're healthy.
Do you have any other questions that are smart?
He was not
happy. Okay, listen, that's a decent question because everybody still kind of does. We do, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's so funny that he would ask that, but also really true.
I mean, I think as a comedian or like, you know, an actor like that, he could like laugh it off.
Yeah. Mel B's ex-nanny has claimed the former Spice Girl acted as a cameraman to film their alleged threesomes with her estranged husband, Stephen Belafonte. 26-year-old Lorraine Gills claimed that she had sex multiple times a week with the singer and felt very uncomfortable about being filmed romping with the couple. The married German babysitter filed a 128-page libel lawsuit that hit back at Mel's allegations that Lorraine had an affair with Stephen behind her back and aborted his baby. Lorraine claimed that the couple had footage of their threesomes on their mobile phones and that she is petrified they will be leaked online. Tom Cruise was injured during stunt on the set of Mission Impossible 6. The 55-year-old actor was in London yesterday when he attempted to leap from a rigging onto a building. He fell short of the mark and hit the building pretty hard on the side. After he slammed into the building, he was left hanging in the air for a moment. He then tried to limp away before he collapsed. He limped back to the edge of the building, and that's where he was pulled away by crew members on the safety team. According to TMZ, Tom Cruise tried and failed his building stunt jump at least twice.
I wouldn't even do it one time.
No
one
way.
Time I would be done if I didn't clear it.
According to the Jones Creek Police Department, there is no new information proving that R. Kelly is running an illegal cult in Atlanta.
Told you!
Despite claims from a city official. On Friday, Fulton County Chairman John Eaves told the media the police department had new evidence against R. Kelly to launch a new investigation. R. Kelly's camp is furious with Eaves over his news conference, saying R. Kelly is outraged at the insinuation he's doing anything wrong and believes Eaves is using the situation for his own personal gain.
Are you ready to apologize?
I believe I can fly.
No, I still 100% believe R. Kelly is running a cult.
You know
it may not be illegal. Those women may have said, it's R. Kelly. I'll live with him and do whatever he wants. I love being a brain dead sex zombie. They very well could have done that, but
this is a terrible apology to R. Kelly right now. I'm throwing it out there that if you and anybody else that wanted to go after him want to apologize, this would be a good time.
I'm a brain dead sex zombie. I believe I can fly.
That's what they sound like.
You think Taylor Swift doesn't have a whole army of like people? She could lead a giant cult and you'd be like, I volunteer as tribute.
100%. That's the garbage.
Listen, you don't have to say what you did, but I would like you guys to be honest. Have you ever stolen anything? Like back in the day, like not pickpocketed, but
whoa.
I'm sorry. That would be really extreme. But taking something from a store and like not paying for it. Maybe you were a kid even.
I haven't.
Oh, I have.
What'd you steal?
I'll talk about it, because I feel like the statute of limitations has got to be long gone by now.
Are you sure? You might want to Google those.
I don't know. I think I was like 7 or 8. I know I was a kid, and I got away with it, and like my mom didn't even catch me, but my mom was going into a place called Sally's Beauty Supply or whatever to get some hair stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And next door, there was this like, I don't know, it was like a kid's store almost. It just had toys and different arts and crafts, and it was, it's funny, because I need one right now. It was this like a circular like shape of the earth. It was a stress ball, like a foam ball. It looked badass to me.
Love those.
Grabbed it, started squeezed it really hard, put it in my pocket, and I walked out. And it was like so subconscious. Like as a kid, I didn't really. It was weird though. After I left, I'm like, ooh, you just stole. Like I had such a high and a rush. I've never stolen since then. And I had friends that would steal stuff all the time, and they always got away with it. But I was My mom scared me so much, though, like as I got older. I guess she didn't realize I was a klepto at that young of an age, that I was afraid to take anything.
Oh, yeah. One of my friends in high school would, I mean, she had mastered the art of shoplifting and would go to Target and stuff, and she would take a bunch of clothes to the dressing room, and what she would do was put them on in layers. So she would put, like, shirts under shirts and then walk out with them, and I stopped being her friend because I was like, I knew she was going down a bad path. Sure enough, she got pregnant at, like, 16. So I called that one like I saw
from
it.
From the clothing? The clothing? Got her
no,
pregnant?
No, but she was just like, she was just involved in so many bad things.
Bad crowd?
Yeah, bad crowd. And I was just like, I'm not going to hang out with her anymore. I'm sure my parents were relieved.
I would like to hear, you could be anonymous. I'll just do anonymous. But if you're a person that likes to steal, or maybe you have in the past, like maybe you just stole one thing, like I stole a little squeeze ball of the earth kind of thing. Like 317-239-1009. We'll do everybody anonymous. I'll just pick you right up if you're willing to share that. Because I find it interesting if you get a high from that or a rush. Because maybe it's like this one lady. Did you guys see this one? There's a woman in the UK who shoplifts and then goes number two in the stores.
That's DNA, girl.
A 42-year-old woman who has stolen from several stores has left her mark by stealing merchandise and then in the stores.
That's gross.
Experts believe the woman experiences such a rush of adrenaline from shoplifting that she loses control of her bowels. Yeah, pretty much. Local authorities are unsure of how they should treat the woman. I guess she has a mental health condition, they think.
Okay.
But even then, like, that's crazy, though.
You know what? I hope that one day I can say that I've experienced something so amazing in such a rush of emotion that the only thing my body knows how to do is just...
I'm surprised you don't, when you see chicken nuggets, you're like, oh, Lord, no, dipping sauce.
Yes.
Good morning, Joe and Alex. Show, anonymous person, have you ever stolen something?
Oh, definitely. The first time was when I was, like, maybe 5 or 6. And my brother was, like, prom dress shopping with his girlfriend. And she was really rough, you know. She was like, hey, why don't you stick these little beads in your pockets? Those little, like, glass rock things. So I stuck, like, I don't know, 30 of those in my pockets and walked out like a boss.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, but then it kept going. So my most recent has to be anonymous because it was kind of a big deal. So with my girlfriend and her mom and stepdad, definitely late night drinking a little too much, stole a flag from a golf course.
Whoa.
You see, I feel like that's a victimless crime. Now, don't get me wrong, the golf course has to pay for that, but that's something like that I would
yeah,
do.
They're members of the golf course, too, so like it comes out of their fees or whatever,
yikes.
But, you know, it's a souvenir now.
Okay.
It's in my living room.
How big is it in real life, like up close? Pretty big?
The pole is really big, and it's a nice pole. It's got, like, the solar, like, the reflectors on it for your radar.
Wow.
What are you going to use it for? Are you going to plant it in your backyard?
No, I can't let anybody see it. God.
You know what's funny is that whenever I've been in, like, somebody's basement and they have stolen, like, a street sign or a stop sign or something like that, I'm always mesmerized by how huge those look up close.
Oh, yeah,
they just look small when you're driving.
Not quite as big.
Okay. Hey, Anonymous, thank you. I hate to admit this because I am worried. Do you guys know anything about the statute of limitations?
No.
Like if I stole something or was part of something, like how long it could come back to get me?
No, I don't know.
I won't say where because that could really narrow it down. But somebody I know might have been involved. We were so young and dumb. Like I look back and I'm like, I didn't think it was a crime. But looking back, I'm like, you dummy. You could have went to jail for that.
What was it?
We stole a bunch of street signs. Well, not me, but people
I
know.
Are those hard to get down?
Yes. You got to use like a screw. Well, not a screwdriver. Damn, I don't know anything technological here. I'm not a man. No, a wrench. You had to use like a wrench, another thing, and you're trying to get them. But
did you at least get one? Get some that had like funny names or something.
We got like a dog pooping sign, which was kind of funny.
That's funny.
I thought that was funny. We got like slow children playing, which we got that sign, which is giant. And I'm gonna shut up now in case this come back to bite me. Like, what if tomorrow I'm arrested and the show just has to be, you know, you guys doing your thing? I'm locked up in jail. 317-239-1009. Hey, Joe and Alex Show, who's this? I'm sorry, I'm anonymous, anonymous. My bad, I'm just used to saying that. Anonymous.
That's all right.
Did you steal something or what's going on?
Okay, I actually have a lesson for anyone who even thinks about stealing, shoplifting, whether you're a thief or not.
Okay.
When I was 19, long story short, I worked at a dollar store. I just moved into my first apartment. I bought $137 worth of stuff at a dollar store. And I...
Ah, we lost.
The cops got her.
They got her. Tracked. All right. And I want to throw it out there, too. I'm having like a moment of clarity here. Just so you know, kids, don't steal. Parents, I'm telling your kids not to steal. I was young and dumb, and I look back, I'm like, God, like, I would. Seriously, some of the stuff I did, like, I don't know. My parents should have whipped my butt if they would have known about
Joe,
it.
Joe, where are these street signs now?
It doesn't matter where these street signs
are.
Wait,
more importantly, where's that stress ball? You could use it right now.
I know. Give me that stress ball. Okay, have you guys heard of this? I'm going to probably say it wrong. It's an app. It's like Sarah Aha.
I say it like Saraha.
Sriracha?
Saraha. I don't know.
I do it like Lady Gaga. Saraha.
Send me a message now. Okay, well, the app, however you say it, because I'm going to say it wrong, actually is really popular now. It was released back in June. I can't say it correctly.
Saraha. We'll say Saraha.
But it means honesty or candor in Arabic.
Ah.
So for my Arabic-speaking friends, maybe you can call in sometime and tell me how bad I'm butchering it. But it offers a way to totally anonymously direct text message people.
Yeah, it looks like Sarah Ha, right?
Like the name Sarah.
But the idea, have you guys seen it like on your Facebook and different things?
Yeah.
People are getting messages.
All over.
The biggest thing is I see it's like, I would totally date you, but I don't know if you'd say yes. Like, I see all these stupid things people are posting. Like, this is the messages that they got. I feel like if I posted it up there, people would just, like, slam me. Like, hey, I hate you. I've never liked you, and you're a jerk. Like, okay.
Yeah, so mine would probably be overloaded and then, like, spontaneously combust with all of the hate.
We just catch on fire right there. I figured, why not do like our own little version here on the Joe and Alex show? Maybe something like Joe Ha Ha.
All right.
Joe Ha.
Okay, let's do Joe Ha.
Okay. I'd like to share some of these with you.
Just like ripping on Indiana?
Kinda, yeah. Or
all
just
right.
Our things. Dear Sun King Brewery, I really like you a lot. Except your beer's too good. I was at your establishment downtown on Saturday with my wife, Lindsay. We grabbed a pint, and then another.
Oh.
And $92 later,
Whoa!
I was very drunk and had two new t-shirts.
Hey, you got two shirts.
I got two t-shirts, which were on sale. I got a growler to go home with,
nice.
And I don't think I've ever drank so much craft beer in my life. I had everything they had on tap, which like beat up my stomach inside. So, dear Sun King Brewery, your staff was nice and friendly, but maybe next time they're not so nice.
Oh, Sun King Brewery, you got him. Got him.
Shame on you.
Gotta get Joe to spend $92.
That's honestly very unlike you.
It was. We went there for real. Like, for our goal is to get a beer or two each. We had lunch downtown. Like, let's grab a beer and just enjoy, you know. And we played some Super Mario 3 on their little game system. 3.5-4 hours later, Lindsay didn't drink. Like, she quit drinking after a few. She's like, yeah, go ahead, you know, relax, do your thing. I was drunk the whole day. Like, I can't drink. I don't know how people drink, because I can't. I get so drunk, and all that beer inside of my belly, I still think I'm drunk.
Jeez.
But I have some really nice shirts, though. All right, who's going next here for Joe Ha Ha?
I'll go next.
All right.
Dear Revel and Tiki Bobs.
Oh, no.
Thank you for getting me college wasted on Saturday night. So college wasted that I woke up from my liquor coma with a college meal still in my hand. A Sun Chips sandwich.
Oh, gross.
What's a Sun Chips sandwich?
I woke up with two pieces of bread with Sun Chips in the middle of it, I guess, because I didn't have any, like, this is my drunken stupor thought that was a good idea. And you know me. You know how I'm, like, OCD and everything.
Yes.
In my bed, crumbs everywhere.
Oh, no.
And I woke up, I was like, oh, my God, I woke up like this.
Lord,
I woke up
me.
Like this.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Alex, do you have anything today for Joe Aha?
Oh, do I ever. Dear Indiana State Fair, there's Disney World, and then there's you. Sure, you can spend a ton of money to travel to the Red Sea or the Dead Sea, but why do that when you can experience a sea of mullets at the state fair? Did you think smoking cigarettes was obsolete with anyone under 40? Think again. At the state fair, it's like a convention where all the baby chain smokers rage, except they want to be pulled closer on your daddy's tractor, not a Range Rover. And the tattoo on their shoulder most likely is something tribal or a tacky cross with their own last name. If you're looking for a fun and different first date outing, try this fun competitive game. You and your partner each pick a different fair cuisine and guess which end it will come out after you eat it. Speaking of dates, there's nothing quite as romantic as a sunset Ferris wheel ride with your cousin. That is until your dad sees you two together and gets jealous and threatens to take away your Android phone. At the end of the day, though, the Indiana State Fair is just a great way to show off your new Harley-Davidson shirt and take home a few more classic pieces of Minion memorabilia. Because nothing says Indiana, or America, quite like a yellow booger in overalls. So thank you, Indiana State Fair.
Very well done, everybody. Very well done.
Yeah.
I like that. Joe Ha Ha on the Joe and Alex Show.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Ooh, it gets me every time. All right, every Monday at this time, our guest Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana covers some of the scariest and most disturbing true crime stories. If there's a case that you'd like to hear about or maybe have us cover, we can discuss it. Email us your suggestion, joeandalexshow@gmail.com. Ashley, who is our serial killer this week?
Today we're talking about John List, and this is actually a suggestion from Alex.
This is one of my favorite stories of all time.
So wait, do you know this one then?
I do know this one, okay. But every time I hear it, it just gets me.
Ooh.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump right in, you guys, and I need to give you a little backstory before I jump in right to the killings. So John List is like your average American man. He's an accountant, Sunday school teacher, Boy Scouts advisor.
No one you would suspect to do anything wrong.
Total like your homeboy, right? But like anyone with a Facebook knows, things are not always what they seem. So in 1951, he meets this widow named Helen Taylor, and they date for about 3 months, and Helen tells him, "I'm pregnant, we have to get married." So they get married right away, and Helen totally lied about it. So she traps him into a marriage.
One of those broads.
Yeah, come on, ladies, quit stop it.
But they stay married because it's 1951, and apparently that's just what you do. And they go on to have a family, 3 kids, 4 years. And his home life is a disaster. He finds out Helen is an alcoholic.
Ugh, she's the worst.
She also has raging syphilis since like 1940.
Oh, man.
Who doesn't?
It's been like eating away at her brain. So it makes her crazy, and she's verbally abusive to him.
Oh, gosh.
So his home life's a disaster. You would hope that he could get it together at work, but he can't. He's constantly losing job after job as an accountant. Not because he isn't professional or can't do his job, but he is just so socially awkward, he can't interact with anyone.
Well, living with a woman like that, that's enough to make anybody crazy. She traps you into your marriage with a fake pregnancy. She's got crazy syphilis, all of that.
Right,
it's
right.
A no from me.
So he loses his job over and over. She's verbally abusive. He finally lands a really good job as the vice president of a bank in New Jersey. So Helen is like all about this life. She up and moves the whole family to the East Coast, and she basically twists John's arm and forces him to buy this 19-room mansion called Breeze Knoll.
This guy's an accountant. I know they make some good money, but dang.
Seriously. And you know a home's big if it has its like own name. Like it's legit. So not long after they buy this mansion, his mother moves in with them. So they've got 6 people in this home, and John loses his job again.
Oh, no.
But he cannot take Helen. He can't take the ridicule. He can't take the shame. So
the financial pressure. You just bought this 19-room freaking mansion.
How do you get pre-approved? I'm sorry. I'm not even worried about John right now. I'm like, how do you get a 19-room mansion? I have a hard time.
It's the real estate section now.
I have a hard time getting a 2-bedroom, 1-bath place. I got a decent job. Okay.
So he decides that he does the most psychopathic thing a person can do. So instead of telling his family, we can't afford this, we need to move out, I lost my job again, he pretends every work. He gets his suit on, gets his briefcase, eats breakfast with his family.
Oh, he fake goes to work.
Takes the car to the train, rides the train all day, reading and napping, and comes home at 5 o'clock. He does this for months.
Well, we know this doesn't turn out good if you've read The Girl on the Train.
So by 1971, he's on the verge of bankruptcy, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. His whole family is going to be like ashamed. They're going to be in poverty. So he sits down one day, and he's like, all right, I've got 3 options. One, I could commit suicide. 2, I could flee and just go on the run. Or 3, I could murder my entire family to get out of this.
The kids and everything?
The kids and everything. Mom, wife, and children.
So those are his three options. Okay.
Yeah, those are the only three.
Those are the only three to John list. And obviously, spoiler alert, we're talking about the family annihilator today. He murders his whole family, but the reason, his justification for it and how he does it is so crazy. It's unlike anything you guys have ever heard.
All goosebumps right. on goosebumps on goosebumps. When I found out how he killed them, I love it. You're going to freak out.
I don't think you love it. Nobody loves how they killed somebody.
Well, it's interesting.
We will find out how this person killed his entire family next as Murder Monday continues on the Joe and Alex Show.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
And again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Special guest in studio, Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. And today, we're talking about family annihilator, John List. What a creepy dude. So where do we leave off with this guy?
So he's on the verge of bankruptcy. He doesn't want to give up this charade that is his life. So he decides one day he sits down and has three options. He can commit suicide, but he says he didn't want to do that because he would go to hell. He's a very religious man, very Lutheran.
They and always are, aren't they?
Not an option for him. So second option is he said, I could just flee. But his fear, if he fled, his family would go into poverty, and he thought that they would stop believing in God and they would go to hell, which, again, not an option for him.
Right.
So he thinks, ding, 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 I know what I'll do. I will murder them all.
That's how you get to heaven. There it is.
So that way, they go to heaven right now. They're in good standing with God, and I'll have plenty of time to repent my sins and meet them in heaven later. So November 9th is D-Day. He wakes up, gets dressed like it's any other day, goes
down. What
year
is this?
1971.
Okay.
Has breakfast with his family and waves them off, sends the kids off to school one by one.
And how old are the kids?
So we've got Patricia's his oldest, 16. Frederick is 13 and John is 15.
Oh, they're all like that little prime age of just just everything in their life is perfect. High school.
And enjoying yourself. Yeah. Wow.
So they go off to school, and Helen comes down for breakfast and coffee, and as she's making coffee, he comes up behind her and just shoots her once in the back of the head.
Oh.
He then takes her body from the kitchen where he shot her and pulls her into their ballroom, which, again, their house is so big, it's not even furnished. It's just this giant, empty ballroom.
19-room mansion.
And he lays her out in the ballroom and then goes upstairs to the third-floor apartment where his mother lives. And his mom is like, John, I just heard this crazy noise. What was that? And he said, Mom, that's why I came upstairs. I'm going to go with you. I think it's something in the attic. Come with me. So he kisses his mother on the forehead, helps her out of bed. And as they're walking down the hallway towards the attic, he shoots her in the back of the head.
Oh, not Grandma.
Then he goes downstairs to clean up the mess. And the one thing he said, he's like, you know, I never realized how much blood comes out when you shoot somebody. So he cleans up the entire kitchen because the one thing he said is he didn't want his kids when they came home from school to know what was coming.
What a kind guy.
So he puts his wife in the ballroom, cleans up everything, and then goes and sits down to write a letter to the children's school that say, hey, the kids are going to, we have a ill family member. The kids are going to go with me for 3 weeks, a month, and we're going to take care of this family member so they're not going to be in school. Don't worry about them.
That would never fly nowadays.
So he takes these letters, goes to the post office, mails them, shuts off the mail, shuts off the newspaper, the milk delivery, all of that. Goes and clears out his bank account that he shares with mommy and comes back to the house and sits down at the very table he just murdered his wife at and eats lunch.
Because as you do.
As you do. And waits for his children to come home from school one by one.
Oh, no.
So first to come home from school is Patricia.
No, not my girl, Patricia.
Chatty. She comes home, says hi to Dad, walks past him. And when she walks past him, he shoots her in the back of the head. Just
one
like
shot
mom.
And done?
One and done. Moves her, takes her on a sleeping bag and moves her into the ballroom next to her mother. And then cleans up again, waits for the next kid to come home. The next kid to come home is Frederick.
He must have gone to Costco, got a lot of like bleach.
I just don't know how this guy like so calmly can continue to shoot his family members in the back of the head, clean it up,
yeah,
and then do it all it over again.
You know, he was interviewed and someone asked him, you know, after, you know, while you're sitting there waiting for your kids to come home, did it ever occur to you to like, maybe I should stop? And he's like, no, not once. I just, once I started my mission, I realized I had to finish. So Frederick comes home. Same thing, says hello to Frederick, shoots him in the back of the head, pulls him on a sleeping bag to the ballroom next to his sister. And then this is the weirdest part to me. So John had a soccer game that day. And instead of just waiting for John to get home from the soccer game.
Wait, his other son is named John too?
Yeah.
Okay.
His favorite, his for his namesake.
Okay.
He goes to the soccer game. And like cheers on his kid for a couple of hours while he plays soccer, drives him home. And when John gets home, as soon as they walk in the door and he sets down his bag, he shoots him. But it doesn't take one shot.
No.
He shoots John 10 times.
Oh my gosh, wow. He's supposed to be the favorite.
10 times.
He's supposed to be the favorite.
So he takes John again, puts him on a sleeping bag, drags him back to the ballroom with everyone else.
So it's like a lineup of all the family members.
Lineup.
Okay.
Cleans up the scene and again, like sits down to have dinner. Because like this
man, you walk up an appetite when you're murdering your whole family.
Oh, that's a lot of cleaning and a lot of moving around.
Seriously. So then before he goes to bed, he decides to write a letter to his pastor that he will leave with the family, explaining all of his reasons for killing them and rationalizing it. So he gets a perfectly good night's sleep. Someone asks him, do you have any trouble sleeping that night? No, not even a little bit. And so he gets a good night's sleep. In the morning, he leaves, just takes off, gets a train out west, and detectives don't find the bodies for over a month.
How is that possible?
And you guys, the five bodies in a home is not the creepiest thing that happens when
detectives walk in. That's not the creepiest thing?
What?
No. All right, we'll find out what's even creepier than that, which I can't even imagine what it would be next as we continue Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
And again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Special guest Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. Continuing on the story this morning about the family annihilator, John List.
Janae tweeted us at Joe and Alex Show. I love hashtag Murder Mondays. Not sure what that says about me, but thanks for being weird too, y'all. And Christy said, the only time I don't like music in the mornings, hashtag Murder Monday.
So you guys, before I jump in and tell you what the detectives found, I want to play you a clip of John List. He was interviewed one time in his life, and he's going to tell you why he chose to kill his family the way he did.
I wonder how he sounds. He's probably like a real soft-spoken guy, right? Like, well, I didn't mean to kill my family.
Just no empathy.
But I had to do it because I wanted him to go to heaven. All right, let's see what this sounds like.
That was the one thing I was trying to prevent. Was there feeling any wounds or suffering, you know, at the last moment? How compassionate, huh?
Is he laughing?
Did they take his teeth away?
He fully giggled.
What?
He said, like, how compassionate.
I can't. That just gave me the creeps.
He's a total Looney Tune.
That is pooed. That is creepy. Okay.
That laugh, though.
All right, you guys. So it's 1971. John List is on the run, and they don't find the bodies for over a month.
Which, again, how?
I'll tell you how. So John left. He sent these letters to the schools. No one's expecting the kids at schools. Told all the neighbors the same story, that they're going to take care of an ill family member. And he left every light in the house on. So one,
that's weird.
One by one, the lights start burning out.
Ooh, creepy.
And the neighbors are like, something's up. And they also said, you know, we don't know if his mother went with him. Maybe she's home and maybe she needs help. So she calls the police and asks them to do a welfare check on his mother. So the police go over, bang on the door, nothing.
Uh-huh.
You just scared me because I wasn't expecting a door knock. Holy crap. Warning next time, dang
and it. And they open the door. And the creepiest thing in the home is not the bodies that they see. It's not the smell of decomposition.
Which would be a month old.
It's not that it's pure darkness. What they hear over the home's intercom system is this classical organ music playing at full blast.
No!
Yes.
Oh my gosh, chills.
So as the police walk in, they hear this organ music. They're going through the home with their flashlights, trying to find anyone in the family. And then that's when they come across the ballroom where the entire List family is laid out side by side.
Get out of town. That is beyond terrifying. Why would he be playing organ music like that? Like, that's just like, that ups the horror.
Yeah, he's, again, a Looney Tune. So
organ music's nice, but...
Dude.
No. No.
So they immediately, they've got to find John. He's had a month on the run. Another strange thing he did is, in order for cops not to find him, he went around the home and cut himself out of every single family picture.
What?
Okay. No, no.
So they didn't know what he would look like.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and it's like the 70s, so nobody has social media. You know, if nobody has an actual physical photograph of you, and all they can do really is describe you from memory, they don't have anything else.
So they did end up finding a photograph from one of his previous works. But again, this is 1971, and kind of like we talked about last week with Rodney Alcala, apparently in 1970s, you can just up and leave and change your name, and you're done. No one can find you. Like, as long as you weren't standing next to the body when the police found it, you could get away with murder.
Okay, yeah, that's terrifying. Glad we've fixed that. There are no photographs for John List.
So he is on the run for 18 years.
Again, what? How?
Until my homeboy, John Walsh.
Yeah!
Yes.
Yeah!
Yeah!
That was my boyfriend. I spent every Saturday night with him in the 90s.
So, how far did you guys go?
My homeboy, John Walsh, features him on America's Most Wanted. Now, the biggest problem for this, it was the oldest case that they did, and they didn't have a recent picture of him.
Yeah!
So they brought in this forensic psychologist and a clay artist to decide not just what he would look like, because you can't just put wrinkles on the guy, but they did like a full psychological profile.
Like Criminal Minds, when they psychologically profile these serial killers and they say weird things like, he probably drives a yellow car, he probably wears this color shirt a lot, like weird things about them, or has this haircut. And it's like, it's literally just based on like profiling their personality and things, right? That they figure this stuff out?
Yes. So they do this, they profile him and create this clay bust down to the type of glasses they think he would wear. And they feature him not 2 days later, his old neighbor sees it and calls him in. He was sitting next to his wife watching it came on.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So they ended up apprehending him, and now he's in prison. He passed away recently, but he was spent the rest of his life in prison.
That's sad. I didn't know he died.
I need you to understand something.
I'm kidding.
When you see this clay, what they thought he would look like after 18 years on the run, and what he actually does look like in real life, or did at the time, you are going to be so shocked. I was like, well, it probably was close, but not exact.
Like a picture of
him. I am not kidding you. It looks like a stunt body double of the man.
Same glasses.
They literally predicted that that 18 years later, he'd be wearing these little square glasses, and he's wearing the exact ones. It is nutso. I'm going to put the photo on Instagram right now, at Joe and Alex Show. If you don't have Instagram, Facebook, Radio Now 100.9, it is something you got to see.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy. Once again, Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana, thank you so much for coming on in here today. We're going to put all this up at RadioNowIndy.com with all your contact info and everything, too.
Yes, absolutely. So that if you have an anonymous tip for a crime going on here in Indianapolis, you can submit that anonymously through Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana.
All right. Wow. I'm sorry. I still can't get over like this creepy stuff, too.
This is what I can't.
If I walk home today, like get home, Lindsay's playing this stuff, I'm getting the hell out of here. Now, we have a special guest in studio, Tony. She's from Indiana Hypnosis for Change. And I said Tony, I didn't say your last name because I butchered, but is it Macri Reiner. Macri Reiner, yep. So close. All right, Tony, first of all, thank you for coming in this morning. Do you know what you're getting yourself into?
Thanks for having me.
I think so.
All right, Alex, why don't you explain what's going on?
Essentially, I am an extreme picky eater. It is not by choice. It is something that I've dealt with since I was a child. I hate it. I have extreme anxiety that I experience. If I'm told that I'm going out to like a work dinner or a date or anything, I mean, immediately I'm in a full-on sweat, shaking, panic. Like, I got to check the menu first. It's so embarrassing. I hate it about myself. And I would love to be able to just eat anything or everything and not have to worry about that kind of stuff, but it really does hinder my everyday life being such a picky eater. And I've always wanted to get help for it, but I just didn't really know where to start. And then I thought, what if I had a hypnotherapist to help me?
Well, it is a great idea. I do want to say at first, things around eating, it isn't a one-time shot like me coming in for a few minutes. I'd like to deal a little bit with the anxiety part of it at this point, and then we can work together more later.
Okay.
Just because hypnosis, it's a process. It's not an event. It's not magic, but it works. And
what kinds of things have you helped cure with hypnosis or hypnotherapy?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't quite use the word cure, but affect change, because I'm not really doing anything to someone. It's all an inside job. It's an inside process. I'll do a little background real quick. In the sense that hypnosis is really when you focus your attention to the exclusion of anything else. I've watched you guys for the last couple minutes here really be in your work trance, where that's what you're focused on, to the exclusion of other things. A good example of how you explain hypnosis is the idea that when you go to a movie, you go in and you narrow your focus to the screen. That's the first step. And then once the movie starts, if it's a good movie, you buy in, you lower that critical factor, and I'm using my hand signals here. You lower that critical factor and you suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there would not be a second in that movie when you wouldn't be thinking about the producer, the actors, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And since you suspend disbelief, you buy into what's going on. And it lowers that, you know, we use about 10% of our brain, and the rest is that unconscious part that creates programs and keeps us from having to learn to dress ourselves each morning.
I feel like you're being generous. I think I use about 6 or 7%.
Okay, well.
And by the way, we're live on our Instagram, Joe and Alex Show, so you can see what Tony's talking about. And also
what she's going to do to me.
But okay, well, that's really interesting then. And that could work for a lot of, I'm asking, I guess, can that work for a lot of things? Like, obviously, if you see me on Facebook Live, I'm a bigger gentleman and I struggle with food. Is that something that hypnotherapy could at least help me try to work with?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because it's the same thing. When you think you have a program that says, we'll use weight, I'm fat. And you every day, you know, you have all these things that go with, I'm fat, I don't exercise, I do these things, you know, that go along with that. So when you decide I'm going to exercise, this part of your brain, you go, I'm going to exercise. And it's like, well, you don't exercise.
It's like hitting a block. It's a
block.
Wall. Yeah.
So in hypnosis, in any kind of thing like that, when that part of your brain lowers, like you're in the movie, and suddenly when they want you to cry, you cry. When they want you to be afraid, you're afraid. Those new ideas can weave in and become part of that new program. So you begin to see yourself as this, I can do that. And so, I mean, I've helped people with, you know, the obvious kind of things, a fear of flying and phobias. But often I'll get people who are just stuck in behaviors that aren't really serving them well.
Like what? Like addictions?
Addictions. I work with some of that. I work with gamblers and drinkers. And you know, you have to want to change, because, like I said, I'm not doing this to you. I'm helping you.
Help yourself.
So if your spouse is like, honey, I signed you up for this hypnotherapy, but if you don't yourself really want it, it's not going to work?
Well, no. I don't work with people. If you call for somebody else, I have to know they want to do it or talk to them.
We've been trying Alex for 6 months until you finally called and made it happen.
But the first thing I'd like to teach you is something that it's called tapping. Now, there's a lot of info out there about it. I use a certain kind of tapping, which I can share the information later.
Okay.
It's easier to learn. It seems weird, but it works.
So are you going to do anything to my body?
Well, if it's okay, I'm going to tap on you, which sounds really weird.
Okay, what do I need to do?
No, you just sit there. So let me quit. I'm not really going to explain how it works. It's like electricity. It works. You don't have to know.
You need to watch it. Instagram Live at Joe and Alex Show right now.
You know what? Hang on. Let's take a break real quick.
Okay.
And we'll do the tapping next. We are joined in studio this morning with Tony from Indiana Hypnosis for Change, trying to help out Alex at very beginning process here. This is not going to be done in one take here, but she's such a picky eater, and the anxiety level and stress that comes with it is actually debilitating. In studio, joining us this morning from the Indiana Hypnosis for Change is Tony McReiner. I almost had that right, didn't I?
You had it.
Oh, I did. Yes, it worked. Okay. And we are live right now on our Joe and Alex Show Instagram, so you can see what's about to go down. Alex, for a long time, I thought she just was being, like, whiny, but Alex really is a picky eater, and she suffers. Like, she gets severe anxiety, like even planning when we all go out as coworkers to eat or on a date when it comes to food.
So much anxiety.
Okay, now, and we're going to try to help her out here. We're not doing hypnosis, so it's safe to drive right now, because you said, I thought we were going to do like a hypno thing, but you can't do that when people are driving. It can be dangerous.
Well, it's better to, you know, usually my voice gets really soft, and I get kind of, you know, so.
You should be in radio.
Yeah. No kidding.
So you don't want somebody to be like drowsy while they're driving. We'll do some other things like hypnosis, depending on time. So
then what can you do right now for Alex?
The thing we're going to do right now is called tapping. I use a certain form of tapping. It's faster and it's easier to learn. This is something you can do for yourself.
Oh.
So I'm going to kind of move through this quickly. The question you ask yourself is, how do I know something's bothering me? Because you have to, it's not the story around it, what's going on. It's, how do I know what's going on in my body? Am I thinking? What pictures am I making? Am I smelling, tasting something? So what I'd like you to do now, Alex, is just notice that anxiety. That's where we're going now.
Okay, should I close my eyes?
You can if you want. Sometimes it's easier.
We're live on Instagram, at Joe and Alex Show.
I got this. Just focus. I'll take over.
Yep. So just imagine you've got a work thing coming up. They sprung it on you. You're going out. You don't have time to check the menu. You don't know what there is going to be that you'll eat. And so notice what's going on.
Oh, my heart is beating.
So zero is neutral. 10 is the strongest. Where are you?
Probably a 7 or an 8.
Okay. So I want you to notice that feeling. Now, when I start tapping, because I'm going to do this to you right now, all you focus on are the feeling of my fingers. You repeat out loud what I say and just notice that. Okay. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
So go tapping on you. So just say, I let it go.
I let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
All the sadness.
All the sadness.
The fears.
The fears.
The anxiety.
The anxiety.
The abandonment.
The abandonment.
The fear.
The fear.
I'm okay to let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
I'm safe to let it go.
I'm safe to let it go.
However I do this.
However I do this.
I recorded it.
I recorded it.
I play it back.
I play it back.
I'm sitting here right now.
I'm sitting here right now.
I don't have to choose a food.
I don't have to choose a
food.
I'm
okay to let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
That feeling in my body.
That feeling in my body.
Those thoughts in my head.
Those thoughts in my head.
The pictures I'm making.
The pictures I'm making.
I just let it go.
I just let it go.
I'm safe now.
I'm safe now.
To let it go.
To let it go.
And I'm going
to
grab your wrist. Now take a deep breath and say peace as you blow out. Just, it's a nice word.
You
can say Shazam. All right. Now go to a good place, a good feeling place.
Shazam.
Beach, an animal. She did say Shazam.
Sloth.
It's okay. All right. So notice what's left of the anxiety. Go back to whatever you were feeling before. Notice the difference and repeat after me. I let it go.
I let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
It feels so much better.
I feel so much better.
When I let it go.
When I let it go.
Deep breath. And peace.
Peace.
And go to your good place again. And then just notice. Go back. You can open your eyes, whatever. Just 0 to 10 when you think about it. Where are you?
Like 3.
Whoa. Doesn't that feel better?
Yeah. I feel like really calm. Like I feel like calm. Like
you
after...
look different right now.
Did you feel that kind of move away from you?
Yeah. It feels like when you get a massage, like that just like you're really, you just feel super relaxed and tranquil.
Cool.
Like I just feel super calm.
Good, good. So we would work with some of that with different ideas. So do we have much time here?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, because there's another thing I'd like to do, but what I want to ask you is, I want you to think of something you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can try that.
A food?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
What would be something kind of that you would kind of like to be able to eat that would make life easier?
What about asparagus? Is
no, I like oh, I okay. like asparagus. Probably pasta.
Okay. All right. So close your eyes and imagine there's that bowl of pasta in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
See it. Smell it, imagine it, and then notice what comes up.
Oh, just so, I'm so, like, already, like, I want to throw up.
Okay, notice that feeling, that thought, I want to throw up, okay? Mm-hmm. And then only notice my fingers and say, I let it go.
I let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
There's no pasta here.
There's no pasta
so
here.
I'm just making this up.
So I'm just making this up.
It's all in my head.
It's all in my head.
I'm okay to let it go.
I'm okay to let it go.
It feels so much better.
It feels so much better.
When I let it go.
When I let it go.
Take a deep breath. And peace.
Peace.
And then go to your good place. All right, so when you think of that bowl of pasta, how is that now? The same, different, better, worse. I've made things worse, so.
I don't think it's worse. I would say it's a little bit better. It's not. I don't feel as relaxed as I did with the other thing, but I would say that there is a difference of. The dabbing really does. It feels so good. You should really do that to Joe. I mean, it feels really good. And you can do that to yourself when you're feeling anxious about anything.
Yep. You just notice, how do I know? And all you have to say is, I let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. The tapping's kind of the least part, important part of it. It's that going there. And then
are you
it's
hitting
a
certain nerve or doing something? Yeah,
they're people, acupuncture points.
Okay, I say people can see this right now if you're on our Instagram, Joe and Alex Show. But if you're just listening in your car or at work, where are these points? I saw you do like the forehead.
Kind of between the eyebrows.
Okay.
The side of your eye, like if you wore glasses or sunglasses in your temple.
Okay.
Under your eye, kind of on your cheekbone. And then your collarbone, which is right by that notch in your throat.
Yeah.
And then you just grab your wrist, take a deep breath. And as you blow out, say a nice word. Peace, go to a good place.
Is this something parents can do to kids that are behaving, misbehaving?
Well, what I like to suggest is that parents, once their kids are old enough, it's like, teach your kids, tell them they have magic in their fingertips. Because it's like you empower people and children to go, I don't like the way I feel right now. I can change that.
Or they become a little Wiccan. I'm just kidding.
So what's the follow-up process? Where does Alex, or maybe anybody else, but let's say Alex in particular, go from here now? I guess continue to see you and work on this?
Yeah. Usually my first session, I see people for an hour and a half or 2 hours and get a lot of history about what's going on. I kind of see how she's creating this because there's no food here.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, when I said people are in a trance all the time, it's like it's harder to be here now than it is to be in a trance. Mm. So then we would just do some different techniques. I would teach you things. It's kind of about shifting the neurons. You know, you've habituated this pattern, so your neurons are going to a certain place, and that's the pattern. Well, let's shift those neurons.
Are you going to do exposure therapy eventually? Like, would you bring in food and make me eat it in your office?
No,
like,
I just let you decide.
Because I could talk to somebody, like maybe the Olive Garden would sponsor this or something. Like, I would come in there with producer MYK and like, I love Alex, but we'd throw pasta at her face if that would help.
We could, well, at a certain point, sure, you could do that. And then we could, if there's any residual things, you know, we could. Yeah.
How well is she doing now?
Yeah.
Still some work to go.
But there's things. Like I said, you didn't create this pattern in these programs overnight.
Right.
So,
It is a lifelong. Yeah. Yeah, Joe, don't you have actual audio of me as a child?
I do on my phone. I'll try to pull
it
up.
We'll put it on Snapchat.
Yeah, actually I have video of of Alex as a kid. Joe and Alex Show, you can go see that on our Snapchat, Radio Now 100.9, and Joe and Alex Show on our Instagram. Once again, we want to thank Tony Macri Reiner. I almost had it. From Indiana Hypnosis for Change. Thank you so much for coming in here. Is there anywhere people can check you out or like to get more
on my website, IndianaHypnosisForChange.com.
Cool.
I have an office in Broad Ripple.
Awesome. We're gonna put a link to this too. We'll put a blog up, RadioNowIndy.com, on the Joe and Alex Show. You can see this video and all your information. Tony, thank you so much. This is really good because I know, Alex, you've been struggling with this for a long time, and this might be something to help you out.
I know. I'm really excited, and I want you to give her your face so that you can feel these taps when we go to break.
As my face is all sunburnt, she'll just tap right through it. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thanks.
When I first saw this story, I was like, oh, man, this is something I wish I could have happen to me. It just sounded like, you know, amazing. But this is actually something very painful, and I don't think I'd wish upon anybody. There's a woman, young woman, 23-year-old Amanda, and she has lived with a problem for the past 10 years. It says she has to beg her fiance, JoJo, for sex every day to relieve her symptoms.
Symptoms of what?
The condition is called persistent genital arousal disorder, or PGAD.
Oh my goodness.
And it causes pain in her legs and pelvis that's so bad and so, and she's unable to work and rarely leaves home. So she's pretty much like housebound.
Because she feels like she's always on the brink of the big O.
But it's like not like that good feeling, which you wouldn't
know
about.
It's like constantly feeling like you have to sneeze and not being able to sneeze.
I'm guessing so. It's something she holds in. She says it's not fun to be aroused all the time. It feels like you're about to, and then it never actually goes away. Her symptoms began when she was 13 years old, but she was not properly diagnosed until 6 years later.
Oh my gosh, at 13?
Yeah, here's some actual audio. Actually, listen to the part coming up where her mom talks about what the family thought of their daughter, like when she started becoming sexually active and they didn't realize the condition that she had.
PGAD is persistent genital arousal disorder. Feels like you're about to orgasm and then it never goes away.
Oh.
So it's sharp pains all the way through your legs, all the way through your pelvic.
When she first became sexually active, she was having sex a lot.
I didn't know what it was. My whole family thought that she was just... Oh,
whoa! Mom!
The whole family thought you were...
Oh, my gosh. How awful.
They're like, oh, that's our daughter, 13, just sleeping with everybody. And like, no, like, mom, like, I've got a problem here.
So she just constantly asking her fiancé to do it, or...
Pretty much.
It affects our sex life quite tremendously, actually. You would think that you would just have sex and it would go away. It doesn't. Oh. And sometimes I will literally be crying, begging him just to have sex with me, just to relieve some of the pressure that I have down there.
Bless her heart.
Oh my gosh. Like I said at first, I'm like, oh, I'd love to have that feeling all day long.
Yeah.
Hey, give me some of that. But it's painful. It hurts.
Does every guy have this disorder?
Every guy in Indy does, right?
Yeah, I'm kidding. I wish. She currently takes 30 different types of medication to ease the pain of her condition and uses ice inserts to ease her pelvic swelling.
Holy crap, man. That is so sad. I hope they can come up with some kind of cure or something. That would just be absolutely terrible.
But could you imagine, you think you have something wrong with you? This case is kind of like a sexual thing, or like, you know, like involving an orgasm, and your family's like... Alex.
Maybe a lot of people have this, and they're being misdiagnosed as just sex addicts. That's, you know, possible.
But I mean, I don't think because the sex, I don't know the exact thing with what a sex addict goes through, but the pain that she has constantly until it's taken care of, and I wonder if that's something, seriously, not joking around, if she could take care of that herself, because that would be a relief.
Well, that's what she's saying. She says even when you have a climax, then you're still not satisfied. It's just constant.
So you have to be with, like, okay, well, what if her fiance's out of town?
Yeah, dude, she's screwed.
There's got to be a fill-in man. Well, not really. If he's out of town, she's not getting screwed. Is there a fill-in guy then? Like, somebody says, like, look, this is my buddy. When I'm out of town, take care of my fiancé.
It's like a sex nurse.
It's like, tag, MYK, you're in. Get over here now. Take care of this.
A bedside sex nurse.
Is that an actual job?
I mean, that for her, maybe they could create one.
Oh, I feel so bad for that lady. The worst part, though, is your whole family thinks you're just, like, trashy. Oh, gosh.